This morning, I want to encourage you because I believe that God wants to begin to do a healing within us. The greatest desire that God has for you is to bring wholeness. His greatest desire is not to control you. His desire is not to build up his number of servants that he can lord it over. But God's true desire is for your joy and your wholeness and for you to know the life that he created you to experience. This is his true desire. And I believe some of us, we are holding on to things or we are going through things that have left scars that are eating us up on the inside or on the outside. And God would like to bring an assurance, an understanding that there is wholeness, there is purpose, there is a source that is available to us. And all we need to do is take the dip. We're going to be looking at how do we receive this wholeness? How do we enter into just a knowledge of what God has for us, even when we don't receive that healing right away, even though we still have to walk through a path that goes through the valleys, that goes through the storms, that goes through the floods and through the fires, and yet in the midst of that, there is a healing that takes place on the inside where it doesn't matter what is going on the outside. It doesn't matter what's going on around me because I know that I am a child of God, that everything is in God's hands, that his plan for me is sovereign and it is good, and there is laid up for me a hope and a goal that I will reach one day that is full of life. But yet, there is a choice that we have to make. We have to choose to take the dip. And if you are a child in Sunday school, you know the old song that we used to sing, and it's our good calisthenics in the morning when we talked about Naaman. And we're going to read the story of Naaman, who was a Syrian general, the enemy of God, the one who came against and destroyed the people of God. And yet God reached out in grace and healing and brought a new restoration of life into his life. And The old song goes, if you remember it, "Oh, Naaman went down to the river to dip." Oh, it's not as easy as when we were kids. "Oh, Naaman went down to the river to dip. Oh, Naaman went down to the river to dip. And he dipped, 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 and he dipped. Oh, Naaman went down to the river to dip." And we would sing that, and that's a good exercise for you every morning to get your blood flowing there. But this morning, I want to say we need to be like Naaman. We need to take that dip, and we're going to look at what does that mean for us. Do we have to go out in the river and actually dip? No, not necessarily, but I think there's a choice of dipping into God's presence that we have to make that choice, and so we'll bring that out. But let's read the story here real quick, and it is given to us in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. We pick it up, and it says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria, and he was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper." That's a short little statement that I think is very powerful, and we're going to talk about that. But a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go, I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And so he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you that you may heal him of leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and he said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes that he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious, and he went away saying, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over me and in this place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not have washed in them and be clean?" And so he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more when he simply says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" And so he went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and he came and he stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, I now know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, "Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth. For your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to any other gods but to the Lord." And he went away. What an awesome story of what God offers us. Of healing, of refreshing, of restoring, of life-giving. And there is that same desire that God wants to do in us. He wants to open up something new within us, that just begins to change everything. All of us, we have this area in our heart, in our life. Maybe no one else sees it. Maybe we hold it in that no one knows it. Sometimes we even hide it from ourselves, but there is a struggle. There is just an emptiness. There is a frustration. Maybe there's something that we don't even, can't even put our finger on, but there's just something not right And yet we continue to look for something to fill that void. And God wants to bring just a feeling of refreshing in our life. So how do we dip into what God has for us? How do we dip into the life flow that God wants us to experience? When we look at the story, there are seven things. He dips seven times, so we're going to look at seven things that we need to do will bring us that. Now, I want to understand, these are not formulas. This is not, a checklist. Okay, I've done that. I'm going to tell you, these are simply a journey, but it's the direction of the journey. These are simply the direction. I want you to understand that. This is the direction of the journey. And so as we go through these points, begin to understand the principle, not just the behavior. Because it's not something we just do, it's something we become. The first thing we need to understand is we cannot ignore our leprosy. You know, it said that Naaman was a great man. He was powerful. He had position and status. He had pleasures. He had everything he wanted. And it said one short phrase, but he was a leper. In our life, many times, we live our life and we enjoy all the trappings around us and we have dreams and we have goals and we have things in life that we hold on to and we enjoy, but we ignore something very important, that in the midst of that, we are lepers. We are all lepers. All of us have a disease within us that is slowly eating us away. That's what leprosy, back then, of course, was much more rampant than today. It was something that was a terrible diagnosis because you were separated from those around you. But it basically ate away at your body, slowly. And in each one of us, there is this leprosy. Sometimes it's not noticed because here's one key factor of leprosy. The way it works is that leprosy, the very first area that it eats away at is at your feeling. You go numb. And one of the greatest dangers of leprosy is not just, spots on your skin and everything. Many times, even if you don't have that outward symptom of leprosy, the thing that is dangerous is that in their extremities, you would go numb. And you would injure yourself and not know it. And so your fingers and your feet and then your arms and legs would, in the numbness, you could enjoy life and you could go through life with even pleasure, because how many knows that many times that's what we want? I just want numbness. I just don't want to feel pain anymore. And so there is an enticement to that. And the sin within us many times causes us just to go numb to what's really happening in our life. And we ignore the leprosy, the brokenness, because we look at our, no, my life is great. And yet we are harming ourselves without ever even knowing it. And there are cuts and scratches that get infected because the leper never feels it. And so one of the habits that a leper has to learn to do is inspect himself daily to see if he has scratched himself so that he can treat it. We need to learn to not ignore our leprosy, but to examine ourselves daily. Are we recognizing that I am a leper? I need healing. Our first step is to recognize we need healing. If we don't recognize we need healing, we can go our whole life until it's too late. And I want to encourage you, don't fall for the deceptive numbness of this life. The numbness of enjoying everything else and thinking that that is fulfilling me. Because the enemy of our soul, our own heart, will deceive us into dying as a leper, even while it eats away even on the inside or through our hearts. There's the leprosy of selfishness, the leprosy of hurt, the leprosy of bitterness, the leprosy of unforgiveness. There's so many areas that this leprosy just eats away at us, and yet we become numb to it. And we actually find a home in just that fuzzy little numbness. And yet God is calling us out. He's calling us out of that. Now, sometimes when we step out of that, it's painful. Have you ever had your foot go to sleep? You're almost like, oh, I just don't want to move it. Just don't move it at all. But to wake it up, you got to go through the pain of, oh, you step on it and walk on it, and it hurts worse until finally it's awake, and then it's better than it was before. I'm telling you, don't be afraid of the pain of stepping out of this sinful position of our life. Don't ignore your need for God. The second thing, we see that he couldn't stay where he was. If he was going to find a new hope, a new life, we've got to learn, we've got to leave our life. If we just stay in the same sin, dead life, then that's what we're going to produce. If we're ever going to find hope, we've got to leave. And that's one of the biggest things that holds us back, because we just don't want to leave. I want God, but can't God just come to me and just meet me here and I'll just stay here? No. The answer is no. You see, because where you are is the very source of the leprosy. Where you are is just enabling it. There comes a point that if we want to meet God, we've got to step outside. Now, we cannot run the whole distance, but God just asks us, you got to take the first step. But we've got to leave that environment. Now, whether it is an environment of people around us that are speaking in and enabling that, maybe we need to leave friends. Maybe we need to leave habits. Maybe we need to leave some thoughts. Maybe there's some emotions that we need to just determine in our heart, I'm going to leave this. I'm not going to continue in this life. Maybe there are some actual directions in our life. Sometimes it is an actual physical thing that we need to get up and leave. Maybe there are jobs that are poisoning us, and it's scary because, well, then what else can I do? We need to hear the word of God. And for everyone, it's different. And so don't go and say, you know, God's calling me to leave. Some of us, we are Abraham. Some of us, God may be calling you. You need to leave. Some of us, we need to leave some areas in our life. Some of the things within our own self we need to leave. But no matter what, we've got to leave. You cannot just let life continue to go the way it has gone. There is a sacrifice that we need to leave. Naaman had to get up and leave to find an encounter with God. What are you willing to leave? What are you really willing to leave for God? Your willingness to leave is going to determine what you receive from God. The third thing, though, is this. You've got to go. When you leave, you got to go to the right place. Now, Naaman, of course, their first thought was, okay, here's common sense. You go to the other person who's in charge. If Israel is where God is, then we're going to go to the king of Israel. Well, the king of Israel was a wicked, wicked person, not following God at all. And yet many times where we seek healing, you know what I need? If I just would get a new job. Okay, yeah, I need to leave this job, so I need a new job. So I put all my trust in the job. Well, when God says, I want you to leave, it's not because something else is going to give that to you. And so many times we seek in that. Or maybe it's if I just had that relationship with that person. And so we put it in that person and we leave for that person. And they are not the one that's going to bring healing to you. Maybe it's things. Man, if I just had more of this, I'm telling you, the things of this life do not have the power to bring healing or satisfaction or even wholeness to you. Where are you going to seek the healing of your life? And all of us, we're running to other things. Man, if my life just had this, everything would be so much better. These are the lies that this world puts in, and we seek so many other things. Many times, unfortunately, we see people and we live in this world. If I could just make someone else pay, they deserve to pay for it. And so we try and find wholeness in revenge. Or we find relief when other people get hurt. I feel so much better now. We're going to false hopes. I'm telling you, who are you going? We need to open our eyes and realize that we're going to the wrong person. He went to the wrong place. Unfortunately for us, many of the things that we run to will not do like the king of Israel. The king of Israel said, hey, why are you coming to me? I can't do this. The problem is the things that we run to will give us lies. Oh, yeah, I can make you feel better. That's why we run to substances. People run to money, drugs, alcohol, relationships. All these things will not tell us, oh no, don't go to me. In fact, they will say, yeah, I'll give it to you. And it's a lie. God is calling and saying, do you want to know there is a God? You see, in this world, it's not that the world is bad. There is a God in this world. But are we willing to come to him? Are we willing to come to him? So we need to ask ourselves, we need to go to the source of life. We need to make sure that we are seeking the real source of life. God is not against you having a good job. God is not against you having that relationship with a loved one. God is not against your family or your recreation or having a fun time or making money. As long as you understand that he is the source, and you better be going to the source and letting him then provide all those other things. But my eye is on him. And God, if you give me this, then that's great. I will enjoy it. But if you don't give me that, it doesn't matter. My eye is still on you. I'm still going to the source. We need to understand who the source of our life is. And go there. Now, here's the problem. He finally got to the right source. He recognized his leprosy. He left behind his complacency in life. He went to the right source. But you know what? It didn't quite do what he wanted it to do. When you come to God, it cannot be in a manipulation. It cannot be in a demand. You need to understand that God is not at your command. Now, he expected, oh, the prophet would come to me, and look, I'm a big person. He should be honored that he gets to minister to me. And yet, Elisha didn't even go see him. He sent a messenger. I'm not going to go see you. Just go tell him to go dip in the river. In so many ways, this is basically what it was. It was a call to surrender his pride. If we are ever going to receive life, and this is where we need to submerse ourselves, there was a call to submerse yourself in humility, in surrender. In surrender that God may not show up the way you want him to show up. Our prayers are not and I've used this analogy all the time. I put my quarters in. I'm pushing G5. Okay, God, give me that. He's not a vending machine. I've done everything you told me to do. You need to understand that we come and we surrender ourselves. We submerse ourselves. Submersing in the river was an act of dying to oneself. Nothing will ever be received until we simply surrender our pride and understand that we have no rights. It is many times, God, I'm praying this prayer because this is what I deserve. You don't deserve healing. You don't deserve to get what you're praying for. Why do you think, we always say, well, it's not fair. This is not fair that's happened to me. Why is it not fair? And what have you done? See, we have such a misunderstanding of who we are. He was in the world a great person, but see, he had forgot. But you're simply a leper. You're a dirty, sick leper. And until we go back to step one and surrender our pride, we're never going to see the absolute fullness of what God wants to do. But here's the great thing. When you do surrender your pride and your rights, life flows in like a flood. Instead of a flood of grief and shame and emptiness and sorrow and bitterness and anger, when we let it go and surrender our pride, which is hard, there becomes a flood of peace and joy and freedom. But you know what? When he went in, it didn't happen all at once. So when I say we need to surrender our pride, it's an acceptance of God's path. It's not just a surrender to let God do what he wants, but it's a surrender to God's path. Because then he says, if it's just to be humble, I could do that. I could go back to the rivers in Damascus, and they're cleaner than this dirty Jordan River. And if you really see Jordan River, which I was privileged to go and walk along, other than a little bit bigger, it would be exactly when you run the little trail down here and you run down there, it looks just like the Alamo River here. You might say, oh, what a description. A little wider, just a little bit. It's not that big of a river, but just reeds growing up around, muddy river. He says, why should I have to do that? How is that going to clean me? We need to be willing to accept the path that God has for us. Sometimes the path to life and wholeness is painful. And sometimes God doesn't take that away. In fact, he says, to get to the other side, you actually have to go through that. And we may not understand why, and we may not want to. He did not want to go in that river, and yet we've got to be willing to surrender. We've got to be willing to obey. This is where a surrender to obedience to God brings life. And God's not always going to tell you why. Okay, I'll obey. So God, tell me why. We want to know the answers and everything. Okay, I can accept that. Okay, I'll do it. God doesn't always do it that way. There is a act of obedience, of living for God, that begins to bring us in to that wholeness. And here's the reason why. God is not as concerned with your healing as he is with who you become. Listen to that. We're concerned with, I want healing. I want deliverance. I want these things in my life. God is not as concerned with those things as he is with who you become. Because I'm going to tell you, your freedom does not come from a change of circumstance. Your change and your peace and joy does not come from God changing what you're going through. Joy, purpose, peace, a sense of just fullness comes from becoming who God wants us to be. And that's where the surrender happens. If we will surrender to be the person God wants us to be, I'm telling you, being the person God wants you to be is better than getting all the things you want to get. Many times getting something keeps you from being what God wants you to be, and that's why God doesn't give it to you. Because he would rather you be the person that you need to be, then have the things that you want. And God is so merciful. This is why we say God is good. God is good when he brings death and sickness, yes. Because if that makes you the person that trusts him, that leans on him, then it is worth it. That's why he says, if you need to go get in a dirty river, then it's worth it. Are we willing to surrender our pride and accept that? And if you will begin to understand that, it can begin to wash the fear away. Because sometimes it's scary stepping into a dirty, muddy river. Ooh, what's in there? What am I going to step in? What are there? But if you know it's the plan of God, it may be painful, it may be icky, but my focus is on what God wants, and if he promised something good, then I'll go through it. You see, are we willing to surrender our pride and your rights? That's hard as Americans, because we have rights. There's a certain, come on, there's a bottom level of quality of life that I deserve. No, there is not. We are all lepers. And we have chosen to walk away from God. We don't deserve anything but death and brokenness. But when we surrender it, God floods into our life. But here's the thing. And I kind of said this already. Once we surrender, we accept the path of obedience. We accept that path. We walk in obedience. And God flows in. But when we accept that path and we begin to walk a path of obedience, when we walk the path of obedience, what did he say? Did he say just get in the river? Do it 7 times. So he obeyed, and here's our problem. We accept God, I'm going to obey you, because we look at it as checking a list. Okay, I'm just going to obey you. Look, God, I'm obeying you. I'm getting in the river. I'm doing this. Look, I gave up my friend, and I'm not going to those parties anymore, and I'm not doing this anymore. Okay, what happened? And he dipped. And he came up out of the water, and you know what? He was still a leper. And so he obeyed again, and he dipped, and nothing happened. This is crazy. Third time, fourth, 5 times. Okay, I've obeyed you, God, for 10 years, for 15 years of my life. I don't see anything different. I don't have jobs like other people. Why? Other people still enjoy it. You see, you're missing the point. It's a life of obedience. We have to understand that surrender. So in other words, we play the game. Did we really surrender? No, we didn't really surrender. We just kind of acted like we surrendered to God to kind of play God. Well, God knows when he's being played. In fact, he could tell before we even do it. That's not really obedience. That's manipulation. So I'm asking you, are you really obeying God? You say you're a Christian, you've come to church all your life. You can come to church all your life. I mean, all your life. And you have played the game. And you've deceived yourself. That's why Jesus said, many will stand before me on that last day and say, look what I've done for you, God. I don't even know you. That was just your life. You just lived a life because you were raised in that. You never came to a personal surrender, a personal acceptance, and a desire to please God rather than just check off the check marks and live the game hoping to get the right result. And so because of that, when we accept the path of obedience, it really means we don't stop until it's done. That means fifth time, it's not done. God said it's a lifetime. So until it's done, don't be surprised. I haven't got it yet. Well, it's not done. You haven't continued to obey. And until we are done obeying God, which we are never done until we take our last breath, then we will not see the fullness of it. Now, thank God, in God's mercy, sometimes, maybe after dip 3, we start to get a little feeling in our hands. And that's a mercy of God, but it's not done. And so there are great mercies that God will give us, but I'm going to tell you, in your life, you are not done yet. We need to persevere until we're done. There's something better. Don't be satisfied with the little things that God does. Some of us, after dip number six, you know what? We experience peace in our life, and we get comfortable in that, and we get out of the river because that's good enough. Okay, that's good enough. Don't, until the disease is utterly killed, you are not set free. So sometimes just because a few symptoms get taken away, we think we're free, and okay, now I'm going back on my own. It's not done. We need to begin to understand this life of loving God and following God. It is a lifetime commitment that I'm going to do it until it's done. That's why he says in the Word of God, he says, don't you understand a runner that runs a race, he runs to win. He doesn't run to go finish three quarters. Okay, I did three quarters of the mile. Well, that's kind of nice. In other words, you're a quitter. No, but didn't you see how fast I ran for three quarters? That doesn't matter. All that matters is what we finish, not what we experience halfway. So I want to ask us, don't get down. Don't when it doesn't happen right away, because God still has a plan. He is faithful that he is going to do it. But we need to not stop until it's done. And here's the final thing. He wanted to pay for it. You know, God is good. Let me give you this for it. Elisha said that you don't earn it. There's nothing you can give me that's going to bring this to you. Understand that God does not want your behavior. He does not want you to pay him back for what he did. You know what he wants? He wants your heart. He says, I did this, again, not for your healing. I did it for your character, for who you are, that you become my child. And so what God wanted from him is what he gave him. He didn't give him gold or money. He says, you know what, from this point on, I am not sacrificing to any other God but you, because there is no other God. You can't earn what God gives you, but here's what God asks. Will you begin to give your heart to God and understand that everything else that you've been seeking is just an idol? Will you be willing to stop sacrificing to the idol of fame, to the idol of pleasure, to the idol of those things that are the desires of your heart? And will you be content with what God gives you along the way? Truly content to give sacrifices to God. That is what brings us into the wholeness of God. That activates even more of the flow that God brings in us, that even after we get out of the river, even after many times that situation that we call on God, many times we get out of that, that doesn't mean we stop following him, because we need his constant flow in our life to keep the disease from coming back. And we do that by stop giving place to those idols. Even when we go back, and here's the thing, God will sometimes put us back in that life of pleasure, because God does give us good things in this world. And Naaman did go back to Syria, but here's what he expected: but you will not serve those idols. Now, he even prayed. He said, pray with me, because my master will still want me to go into the temple with him. And I'm going to have to do that, but I am going to give my heart to God. And Elisha said, go in peace. God will do that. But are we willing, even in the midst of this world? Because see, even after God moves in our life, we still have to live in this world. Are you willing to put to death all the idols of this world and say, God, you alone, because you're the one that has flooded into my life the true source of healing, of cleansing in my life. Are you willing to take the dip? Today, I believe there's some of us here that we're struggling with some things. We realize there's some leprosy in my life that is just, it's just eating me up. There's no shame in admitting that, because we all have it. Anyone that doesn't raise their hand, you just haven't admitted it yet. But there's something, all of us Christians, we as Christians still have areas that we're constantly dealing with that we need to inspect ourselves every day and take the dip. Every day we need to do these seven things. Leave the life behind us and begin to seek him. Go to the source. Surrender in pride. Accept obedience. Stop giving to the idols. That's an everyday thing. But I believe today that whatever you are struggling with in your heart, that God wants to heal. God wants to give you just an assurance. Now, sometimes he does heal physically and financially and even relationally, but sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Are you willing to still live and seek him until it's done? Are you willing to acknowledge that he's the source? And if that's the case, God can change us from within. Even before the healing happens, we become the person that God wants us to be. I think there's some people here today that God wants to make you into a different person, even more than the healing. Will we just be the person that God can move through and touch and heal? But let's take the dip. Are we willing to do it? Let's bow our heads.